Good evening, I'm Hugh Downs.
And I'm Barbara Walters, and this is...
Ron Ananian.
The rules of repair really are something I live by, and I think a lot of mechanics live by, and I think all mechanics need to live by.
The Car Doctor.
I've got a 07 F-150, 250,000 miles.
Wait for it. Just broken in, brother. Keep going. Go ahead. You got it.
Absolutely. The rust is going to catch me before the running gear will go out of it.
There you go.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
I almost didn't know where to start today. Thanks for stopping by. You know, it's funny. During the course of the week, and happy 4th of July, by the way, to everybody. During the course of the week, you know, I can write the show in my head as the week goes by at the shop, and there's always something I want to talk about come the weekend. And there's a lot of things I actually want to talk about today, but, you know, in radio, they want you to, you know, it's first words out of mouth. It's something that's going to catch your attention and be of interest. And I said, you know, you always think to yourself, what do you have to say that's interesting to these people? You know, what do you want to say? What can you say that they haven't heard before from some other guy on radio? What's going to make them remember what it is you say so that they come back and listen more and you can continue to educate? And I had nothing. I really had nothing. I was sort of in, you know, writer's block. I had radio block. Until I went to the bank this morning. I had to go to the bank this morning. And I'm driving along thinking about it, saying, Joe, what am I going to talk about? And I get to the corner and I'm making a left down at the end of the one street. And there's a lug nut sitting in the middle of the road. And don't ask me why. I tend to do that. I look in the road. I'm the guy that walks through the parking lot. And, you know, I'll tell you, this car's overdue inspection. This car's got bald tires. This car's leaking something. That's just my nature, right? That's what I do. That's who I am. And I'm looking at this lug nut sitting in the road waiting to make my turn, and I'm thinking the impact of that lug nut, what that represents, besides uh-oh, okay? And I started to think about this radio show, and I said, gee, you know, this it triggers something, right? We're human. We're emotional. It takes us back. Little things trigger us, and that's what makes the journey through life so interesting because you never know when you're going to get hit with something. I remember 2007. In 2007, I was on a major station in New York. The show was syndicated as it is now, but our major station in New York was making some lineup changes. And I remember the general manager at the time, Bob Bruno, who I consider a friend, and I know he was just doing his job and it wasn't comfortable for him. He had to call me up and say, Ron, we're taking you out of the New York market, and if you want to continue to do the show, you can. And I thought to myself, yeah, let's continue to do the show. I remember this like it was yesterday. This was 2007. And he said, all right. He says, so here's what we'll do. He says, we'll leave you on the network. It's a radio thing. We'll leave you on the network. We'll still syndicate it. But, you know, we're going to play you back in New York at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know, you know, was it a sales move? Were they trying to get rid of me? Were they trying to make me say, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll go away. But play the show anytime you want. I don't care. Day or night. It doesn't matter to me because I just think there's a message. And you try not to fly blind, right? You try not to let your emotions take over. And, you know, do you believe in what you're doing? Yeah, I believe in what I'm doing. All this from a lug nut. A couple of months went by. That was in the spring, early summer of 2007. And October of 2007 came along, and I remember this like it was yesterday. I had my middle daughter, Kate, in the car with me. She was coming home from the shop. It was about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. It was Goosey Night here in New Jersey, Goosey Night, Cabbage Night, Mischief Night, whatever. It's the night before Halloween when you go out and you think it's intelligent to roll toilet paper, and I shouldn't say it like that. I did it as a kid myself, right? We all went through it. And shaving cream and eggs and the whole nine yards. And I'm coming up on a car, the next town over from the shop, Allendale, New Jersey, and it's a police car, and he's got his head down, and he's sitting there with the dome light on, like it's yesterday I see this, and the back seat of the police car is stacked high with toilet paper. And I pulled up next to him, and I couldn't help but to say hello. I felt bad for him. Here he is, cabbage night. He's got a car full of toilet paper, which he could probably sell for a pretty penny right now in the pandemic. And you know, I pulled up next to him. He's writing. I just pulled up, rolled down my window. I said, "Evening, officer. Look like you've been busy." He didn't blink. He didn't hesitate. He just went, "Ron and Anian," and he looked up. And I went, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble." Because right away, I go back to, I guess, my days as a kid driving a black 55 Chevy around Bergen County, New Jersey, haven't gone away yet, right? And I looked. He looked at me and he said, "You're the car doctor." And I went, "Yeah, how do you know that?" And he said, "Well," he said, "because frankly," he goes, all the police officers in most of northern Bergen County listen to you at this point." He says, "Really, all over, because you're the only thing on at 3 o'clock in the morning worth listening to." And I had a laugh, right? He said, "Geez," he says, "I knew who you were right away. I could tell by your voice." And about 7 or 8 months went by. In the spring of 2008, my friend Bob Bruno called me back up and he said, "Okay, I give. We're going to put you on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturdays." And that's how the show got moved to Saturdays, by the way, 2 to 4 p.m. It originally started out as a Sunday 10 to noon thing. And it's still Sundays 10 to noon, and then that's Saturdays 2 to 4. Now it's all over the place because I've got a stack of affiliate welcomes we're going to do today and talk about. But I remember when they moved me back, I said, "I guess that's proof that there's a need for this show. You know, it's just people want it. People are demanding it." And I haven't had too many signs lately, although you could take the stupidity of some people fixing cars that there's a need for this show. But that lug nut on the road this morning said everything to me. That's a mechanic's worst nightmare. That's a problem. Because my first thought was, is that the first lug nut or is that the fourth lug nut and there's one left on a five lug wheel? Is that the first of many that are going to fall off, or is that the only one that's going to fall off? Or did it fall out of somebody's pocket that was walking down the road? But I don't think so, because it was kind of in the middle of the road where you would expect it to fall if it was sitting at the traffic light and just kind of vibrated and fell off. So who's going to have the accident because the wheel falls off? Who's going to be in the car next to that person that has the accident when the wheel falls off because some mechanic couldn't tighten a lug nut? Or maybe Harry homeowner couldn't tighten that lug nut. Auto repair is about procedure. Auto repair is about following a designated path. In the shop, and for the longest time, I've always taught new mechanics, and I expect it out of everybody. We have two methods of tightening lug nuts, and you have to do both. It's required, or Ron will kill you. All right, Ron will pounce on you like your worst nightmare. It's the first step is you're going to use a torque stick. A torque stick is a calibrated socket, so to speak, that matches your car type and lug nut type so that you can only tighten the lug nut to a specific torque or tightness value. And then after you torque stick it, you're going to go around with a torque wrench, an expensive torque wrench, a very nice $350 snap-on dial, not a click-click, but a dial-by-number torque wrench so that it doesn't have to be turned down so you lose calibration. It's just sitting there. $350 we spent on this. And I expect you to use it. Because I don't ever want to see a lug nut from my shop laying in the middle of the road. Not just for the reputation, but for the grief it'll cause, for the damage it'll cause. And it was there. And it tells me, yeah, you know what? There's a need for this radio show, and there's a need for what you're doing. You never know when the universe is going to speak up, and every once in a while it clears its throat, and it shows you the simplest of things, and there's that lug nut. And that's what this radio show is all about. This radio show is about, we've got to get rid of the lug nuts. And maybe that's, you know, a metaphor for the mechanics that are out there that aren't doing the job right, or for the people working on cars that aren't doing the job right. Maybe that's why, you know, this week, like so many others, we're going to start in News Talk Sports, 710 AM and 97.5 FM, KGNC in Amarillo, Texas. And we're going to start this weekend in WAUB AM and FM Auburn, New York, and WGVA AM and FM Geneva, New York, the Finger Lakes News Radio Station Group. And we've got others. You know, this radio station continues to grow. And you know what? That lug nut taught me why and how there's a need. And I'm going to come back and fulfill that need right after we take this pause. I'm Ron Anani and the Car Doctor. Don't you go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Weather whether it's a little red Corvette or a Yugo, you've come to the right place to get that car fixed. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron.
Hey, let's get over to Jim in Virginia, 97 Ranger 4-liter. Jim, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
How you doing, Ron?
All
Happy
right.
4th of July.
You too, brother. What's going on?
97 Ranger, rough idle at cold start. I emailed you earlier in the week. I put a lot of parts on it and also done routine maintenance and hasn't helped any.
Okay, and refresh my memory, Jim. What kind of parts have you hung on this?
Hold on a second.
Uh-oh, the list is that big. That's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Now you're getting me nervous. Yeah?
Oh, the new parts are an IAIC valve,
right.
Idle air control.
Right.
Coolant temp sensor and sender. Air filter, fuel filter, thermostat. New spark plugs. A new DPFE sensor. And I cleaned the MAF sensor and also did a carbon cleaning.
Okay. So, have you looked at any data as far as...
No, I haven't.
By scan tool? So, you're
I've had it in the shop, and they're the ones to put the DPFE sensor in.
Okay.
And...
Did they have a reason why they wanted to do that?
Their just reason is it's a common failure on those trucks.
All right. So, since everybody else took one, this is what yours is going to take kind of guys.
Apparently.
Yeah. Ask them if they're missing a lug nut off a vehicle this morning. I think I found it in New Jersey. So, you know, and part of why I wanted you to come on air and talk about this, Jim, is because a lot of times in diagnosis such as this and others, it's not necessarily trying to find the bad part. It's tell me what's good. Tell me what's working. So just like when you go to the doctor, all right, if you go to the doctor and, you know, doc, I'm feeling kind of sluggish. I don't feel good. I've got aches and pains. They're going to run through the same battery of tests. You ever notice every time you go in there, they do the same thing, heart rate, blood pressure, probe your ears, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, the whole nine yards, right? They always look at the same stuff. They're trying to see what's good so they can figure out what's bad because they can't find anything obvious, right? You've been in that situation. Everybody has. So you got a pencil and paper?
Yes.
All right. So I want to know what fuel trim is hot. All right, I want to know what warm fuel trim is. I want to see how it's reacting. All right, I want to see a normal fuel trim. Now, you know, the reason I look at things like that, all right, and if you're a longtime listener to the show and you've heard me tell you this story before, I apologize, but let me say it for the new guys. You ever get sick in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Monday, you sort of got the sniffles. Tuesday, you're getting the aches. By Wednesday, you're sick, right?
Right.
So, you know, Wednesday, your check engine light came on. Boing. Hey, take me to the doctor. I don't feel good. All right? Monday, you start the car. If fuel trim, the measurement of how the computer is controlling fuel delivery inside the engine for a correct mix, let's say spec calls for 0 ± 10%, but it allows a tolerance all the way up to 25% before it sets a fault. If 25% is the point at which the widget tells it, hey, turn on the light, if fuel trim was 24% and spec normal range is 0 ± 10, at 24%, do you think the engine's going to be running efficiently?
No.
No. Is it going to turn on the check engine light? No.
Probably not.
It can't. Spec says 25%. That's it. It's got to hit 25. 24.5, it's not turning it on. 24.9, maybe. Depends upon the electrical tolerance of the computer making the decision. All right? My point is, changing a part because the last six cars before it got this is no reason. That's not a diagnosis. That's a guess. You know? You might as well just give them a dartboard with a selection of parts on it, seven darts, and say, here, whoever gets the dart in the middle, that's the part I'll change that week. So I want to know what fuel trim is. I want to know what coolant temp and intake air temp are before you start the car. Turn the key on. Have a scan tool hooked up, right? If that vehicle's been sitting for an eight-hour soak, we should be able to turn the key on. Coolant temp and intake air temp should be within 10, 15 degrees of each other. They should actually be pretty much the same, but there's always a little bit of a difference. If we see something that's 30 degrees apart, now I get it, you change the sensor. Was it a new sensor from Ford? Was it an aftermarket sensor? What brand was it? Is the wiring okay? Can the computer interpret it correctly? There's like a half a dozen questions just in changing a part that hasn't been tested that you changed. All right? Fair statement? All right? Fair. Again, doctor said, you know, heart rate, blood pressure, eyes, ears, nose, throat, probe everything. All right? Carbon cleaning is good. How do you know you got carbon deposits? I mean, you probably do. It's a 97 with carbon on the intake valves. All right. Not the most impossible scenario. And carbon's a big concern. Carbon on valves acts like a sponge, and it tends to it'll suck up the fuel as it's being drawn in, and it'll cause that engine to run unevenly or almost to the point of lean and incomplete combustion, and all sorts of things go on. All right. So if they have a bore scope, the ability to look down an intake plenum or pull a spark plug out, crank the engine around, open the intake valve, and look at the backside of the valve, do we have carbon deposits? All right? If we take some propane, you've heard me talk about propane before?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if we took some propane and fed propane to that cold engine, does it make a difference? Does it change the way that engine runs? If it doesn't, it's not a fuel delivery issue. If it does, hey, you know what? This engine's running lean. Why? Now we've got to go looking. We've got to go look for that vacuum leak they haven't found yet. Or we've got to go look for that reason. Why does it run lean? And last, all right, and I realize it's a long list, all right? Last, all right. You know, they changed the DPFE, which is for the EGR valve. How do they know the EGR valve's not leaking? EGR valves leak. An engine... by design, I don't care who made it, Ford, Chevy, Volvo, Toyota, Honda, Ferrari, you know, Yugo, it doesn't matter. An internal combustion engine can't have EGR, exhaust gas, recirculated back through it until the engine is at proper operating temperature to compensate and allow for it. So could the EGR valve be leaking? Could there be a carbon deposit on the EGR valve? Because if there's carbon on the intake valves, there's carbon in the engine. Could a carbon deposit issue cause the EGR valve to leak? Or could the valve be mechanically failing where it can't seat? It's like the toilet in your bathroom that runs all night and you can't figure it out and you got to go in and jiggle the handle, right? Because the water keeps running past the seal. Is exhaust gas leaking past the EGR when it's not supposed to, causing it to leak and create a problem? Feed an engine the wrong thing, it'll tell you it'll be cranky just like a two-year-old. All right. And that's basically what you're trying to do. And of course, if the shop is competent enough, and I'm questioning whether or not they are, that, you know, let's do a basic. How's cranking compression? How's mechanical compression? How's running compression? You know, how's I could ask, have they scoped anything? Have they looked at ignition on a scope? Have they looked at crank sensor signal on a scope? Have they interpreted any internal incoming patterns into the PCM? Using a diagnostic piece of equipment, but they're swapping parts, brother. Go back, talk to them, find another shop, go through my list, tell me what's good, and I'll be able to tell you what's bad that much faster. I appreciate the call, Jim. I appreciate you taking the time. You call me back. We'll fix this car, and we'll talk maybe next week. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See you in a little bit.
Casey Kasem.
Debuting all the way up at number one.
Ron Ananian.
Hey, welcome back. And you thought I was going away. Ha, fooled you. Let's get over to Steve in Wisconsin, 2018 Silverado, and some questions. Steve's moving. Steve, where are you going?
Hey, I'm heading out west to the mountains of Arizona. But before we get to my question, if I can tell you a little story that I think you'll get a kick out of. And it's
sure.
Related to your lug nut story.
Go ahead, brother.
About 10 years ago, I went to a NASCAR race with my two sons and in Bristol, Tennessee. And we got really good seats and were able to get down into the pits after the race. And my son sat there and walked around and picking up lug nuts. And I had a bag just filled with probably 200 lug nuts. It probably weighed 20 pounds. And we got back to the truck, and we put it in the back of the truck, and we took off back to Wisconsin. The bag popped open somehow, and between Tennessee and Wisconsin, we lost all but two of the lug nuts. So just saying, that could be where that lug nut came from.
Well, maybe. You never know. It could have rolled its way all the way to New Jersey. It would take a while, but I guess in 10 years it could make it this way. But, you know, listen, I'm more excited to hear you say you took your two sons to a NASCAR race, because I think that's a great father-son thing to do, right, just to spend some time with them.
Oh, we had a Yeah, we had a ball.
And you still talk about it to this day, right?
I've been working on my vehicle since when I grew up on the farm, we worked on the tractors, but all the way up until I got this new truck, the 2018 Chevy pickup. And I don't even feel comfortable working on it. I do the basic things that I can, but it's just, everything is computer operated and computer monitored. And so it's just like, I'm at that point now where I'm done working on vehicles to the point where I used to, but I still love listening to your show because I learn something every week.
Well,
so
thank you.
I appreciate
to be here for
that.
Yeah, absolutely. Where are you going in Arizona? What part? Near Phoenix?
Flagstaff.
Okay. We're on in Phoenix. I know we're on in Phoenix. Money Radio 1510 AM and 105.3 FM in Phoenix, Arizona. We're there Saturday night at 10 o'clock. And you could actually stream it online if you look it up, or you could podcast it too. You can take the Car Doctor any way you want, but we'll be there for you. So what's your question?
Well, you know, I've lived in Wisconsin my whole life. I'm heading out there now. Headhunter grabbed me and convinced me to leave the Midwest. And I've got this truck, bought it new in 2018. My question to you is, okay, I'm heading up to Flagstaff, which is over a mile high, and I'll be going up in the mountains a lot. Is there anything that I'm going to take to my mechanic next month and say, hey, I'm going on a long trip. Give it a once over, make sure everything's hunky-dory. Is there anything he should tweak before I head out to the mountains? You know, change some jetting or anything?
No, there's really nothing you can do on a modern vehicle. And I'll tell you why. It's a great question. Think of it like this, though. GM sells that truck in 50 states, right? And at what point, they don't know where everybody's going to be. They don't know when you leave New Jersey and drive through Colorado to get to California or California to get through to Florida or Florida to get, you know, they don't know where everybody is altitude-wise or climate-wise. So they have to make everything multi-climate, multi-altitude, self-adjusting to a large degree. 20 years ago, it was a different story. There was different ways of doing enrichment, and even then, things were injected. It wasn't until they got rid of carburetors that the problems really started to go away, and carburetors are gone since 88, 89. The one thing I want you to take a peek at, though, is, do you have a pencil? Take a look at Bulletin 15-NA-010. It talks about new vehicles going through smog inspection in California and certain other states. It came out in January of this year, and it talks about issues that certain vehicles may react to certain environments, such as high altitude, and not be able to pass motor vehicle inspection in that state. And I believe Colorado's mentioned. I don't think Arizona is, but I just want you to read it and have a copy of it just in case, because it's one of those things you'll never find if you don't know to go looking for it. And it talks about the ways that the states are aware of the problem and they're providing exemptions. So it's not so much what do you got to do to get the vehicle ready for the trip or to be there, but, you know, motor vehicle inspection may cause that vehicle to skew its numbers and affect whether or not it can get to be inspected. And then, of course, it wouldn't hurt for your mechanic if he has the ability to log on to the GM website and just look to see, is this vehicle updated to the latest, greatest software? And actually, that's something the GM dealer should probably do under warranty. It's an 18. How many miles are on it?
About 27.
Yeah, it should be covered under warranty. It might be a conversation to have with GM and say, hey, I'm moving to Arizona. Is there any software updates that need to be done to my vehicle? Here's the VIN. You know, go back to the dealer where you bought it. And then, of course, you know, when you get out to Arizona, you're going to have the experience of, now you got to find another mechanic, unless you plan on coming back.
That was my next question for you.
Yeah, that's, you're going in the wrong direction. If you came east, that's a different conversation, brother.
But you are the car doctor. You know everything.
Well, I know I don't want to go to Arizona. I can, you know, it's not that, it's just that it's so hot there. A friend of mine recently moved to Arizona, and he called up a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about it. I said, how is it? He says, well, hot comes under a new definition. He said, it's just, you know, it's 115 degrees and they think that's a cool day there. And I went, oh boy. So, you know, great place, dry climate, dry heat. But as he said, yeah, dry heat or not, it's still hot. So,
why I'm heading up northern Arizona, because the climate up there, farther up in the mountains, is a little bit more temperate.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah. But beautiful country. I've been there once or twice now. And beautiful part of the country, as is so much of this great country of ours. And you'll be fine.
So, hey, Ron, thank you so much for everything.
You're very welcome, sir. Good luck on your trip, and God bless you. Have a good 4th.
Hey. Same to you, man.
You take good care. 855-560-9900. Ron and Ian, the Car Doctor. We are back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Ian, the Car Doctor. The number is 855-560-9900. Thanks for tuning in to the 4th of July edition of The Car Doctor. Let's get over to Gary in New Hampshire. Gary, welcome aboard, sir. What's going on?
Hey, I got a 89 F-250.
Okay.
That as soon as the engine heats up, it loses power. It'll sit there and idle, but you can't drive. It has no power. We've changed most of the electronics that I know of. There's a heat sensor on the top of the engine that we changed.
Right.
And we changed the electronic, I want to say vacuum advance, but I know it's not called the vacuum advance.
Right. Which engine is this, Gary? The 5.8, the 5.0?
5.8.
Okay. And automatic or stick?
Automatic.
All right. And is it as soon as it warms up, it's just loss of power?
That's it.
And how long has this been going on?
I started gradually, and it moved over, you know, in the winter it wasn't too bad, and then as soon as springtime came, we can't drive it anymore.
And is it, you know, you put your foot on the pedal and it just dies, it won't go anywhere, or it'll just sit there and idle all day long, but it just won't accelerate?
No, it actually stalls right out.
Okay. What's fuel pressure?
I don't know.
All right. Has anybody scanned it for any kind of codes?
No codes.
All right. So guess what you have to do? Yeah.
Check the fuel pressure.
Yeah, we're going to have to check fuel pressure. We're going to have to get out a fuel pressure gauge. You sound like you don't want to do that. You're disappointed.
No.
I
was hoping it would be an electronic thing that I didn't know, because I had a couple mechanics look at it.
Right.
We did change the fuel pump.
Okay.
Now, I know it has a secondary fuel pump on it, a pickup pump.
Right. Right.
You know, so it has two pumps. I don't know why, but it does have two pumps on it.
And when they changed the pump, did they put a fuel filter in it?
Yep, we've changed the fuel filter.
Did they happen to cut the old fuel filter open to see if there's any crud in it? I'm just a nosy guy.
No, I don't know. I don't know if they did or they didn't, to be honest. Probably not, I would say.
And here's the problem, all right? And you know, and I'm going to pick on my industry for a little bit. I'm kind of in the mood to pick on my industry today. All right. You had a couple of mechanics look at it. Somebody's got to explain to me the definition of I've got a mechanic looking at it. What does that mean? I've got a mechanic diagnosing it. Sounds better. All right. In the hour it would take the average diagnosis, and this is the industry talking, the reports I read and from my own experiences in the shop. All right. In the hour it takes to do an average diagnosis, there's so much information to be gained. What's fuel pressure? Any fault codes? What's basic engine mechanical capability? I don't care how you find out. You know, you can do a cylinder power balance. Ford's easy. Ford does all sorts of self-diagnostic tests right through the scan tool. You know, there's just so much information you can gather short of, you know, we're trying to, you know, diagnose something without diagnosing it. It's an automatic. Do you know if it accelerates better in reverse or than in drive, or does it do the same thing? If you put it in reverse, does it fall on its face?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, it does.
So when that happens, all right, I want to know fuel pressure. Even though they put a new pump in, all right? Because as you say, there is a secondary pump, all right? Remember what NEW stands for. All right, you know what NEW stands for?
I have no idea.
Never ever worked. All right. So there's no rule that says that NEW pump out of the box is going to work right. All right. Happens all the time. Happens all the time at shops all across America. It happened twice at my shop this week. NEW means never ever worked. Sometimes a used part's a better part. You know why? It's field tested. We take it off a good running car and you store it on the shelf because it's an oddball part that you can't get a lot of. And at least you know it's there. All right. I mean, listen, I could run you through a myriad of the what ifs. All right. But somebody's still got to be willing to hook up and do a diagnosis. Maybe we've got a bad throttle position sensor. All right.
I'll change that.
Okay. Well,
of course.
Right. And the throttle position sensor is so easy to get to on that truck, right? You got to take the throttle body off. It's at the bottom.
Yeah. You got to take everything apart.
Right. How to take everything apart. And then did you get a Ford piece? Did you buy the best thing you could find on Amazon? Was it something out of an auto parts store? What's the quality of that part? What's the quality of that part? And then, you know, so now we've got this truck that I'd be afraid to open the hood because it sounds like the amount of shiny parts is going to blind me. I'd have to wear sunglasses. And am I right?
And you're right.
We still haven't hooked up a fuel pressure gauge rather, because we're all going on, I think, it feels, it might be. Can't do it. Can't do it. What do you do for a living, Gary?
Farmer.
Okay. So, you know, what do you grow? What kind of crops?
Pigs.
All right. So you grow pigs. I like that. Thank you for the bacon, by the way, brother. Who doesn't like bacon? You know, it's like, you know, did I tip out my pet pig? Who cares? Where's my bacon? you know, when the pigs aren't growing, or when the pigs aren't doing whatever pigs are supposed to do to make them bigger and healthier to get more for them at market, do you guess or do you use some kind of scientific approach to it? Although maybe farming, it's intuitive.
It's more intuitive, I think.
Right, but it's lessons learned, and those lessons don't vary much, right? How long have you been pig farming?
A while.
Yeah.
Quite a while.
Yeah, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years?
About 10 years.
Okay, it doesn't change that much, right? It's you know, you feed them, they poop, you put them to sleep, you wake them up the next morning, you go through the whole thing all over again. In the four and a half minutes of you and me talking on radio, auto repair changed about 1,000 times because of technology. So the procedures are all different. All right. Is this a farm vehicle?
It is.
Okay. So then.
So I'm kind of looking at a last ditch effort because I'm thinking it either needs to work or it's got to go.
Right. Okay. So farm vehicle, it's exposed to all kinds of weather, right?
Yep.
All right. How are the grounds? Has anybody done any voltage drop? Well, why should I ask that question? Has anybody done any voltage drop testing at the negative battery post? You know, the negative battery post on that vehicle, if you follow it, there's a negative cable that leads down to the block. Is that good, clean, and tight on both ends? There's a pigtail that comes, no pun intended, there's a pigtail that comes off that negative battery post that leads to the chassis, and there's an auxiliary negative ground connection for the PCM, for the main engine computer. If any of that's corroded, loose, missing, not plugged in 100%, it's going to create all kinds of havoc. So, you know, I get it. I really do. I'm not trying to beat you up, but let's get somebody to take a look at that and do some diagnosis. Call me back, and again, thanks for the bacon, Gary. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after this. Welcome back. We're on the name of the Car Doctor. I want to talk to you about piezoelectricity real quick. Piezoelectric, the piezoelectric effect is the ability of certain materials, and this is as per Wikipedia, piezoelectric effect is the ability of certain materials to generate an electrical charge in response to applied mechanical stress. Why am I telling you this? I want to talk to you about ECAL. ECAL is a procedure that Hunter wheel alignment, Hunter balancers use in order to calibrate their balancers. ECAL, by their definition, is an electronic recalibration tool used to compensate for changes in transducers and temperature. Each force transducer, this is inside the wheel balancer, has two piezoelectric devices. eCal works by using an electronic signal to vibrate one piezo sensor and then read the response of the other piezo to determine how the pair's characteristics have changed since the last three-spin calibration. eCal is automatically performed at regular intervals. What does that mean to you and me? That means that we're dealing in a subject of auto repair that is so technical, we're using piezoelectric sensors to help make sure wheel balancers are in calibration so the car goes down the road straight. And half of you guys don't want to put fuel pressure gauges on cars to check fuel pressure. You'd rather check parts. Oy vey. I'm Ron Ananey and the Car Doctor reminding you, till the next time, each time for the best time, every time, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.